CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. Afghanistan, Pakistan, two troubled regions of Eurasia. In no fashion are they transparent. However, my colleagues, Bill Raggio of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, a senior fellow, keeps the Long War Journal with his colleagues, and Hussein Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, now at the Hudson Institute, are my guides on these reports that we get now and again, frequently, often these days, of activities in Pakistan and Afghanistan that indicate no change from the early days of the conflict. However, the U.S. has changed, NATO has changed, moved away from this region, and we also have the geopolitical force of climate change weighing on the people of Pakistan with the vast flooding of these last months, not answered in any fashion by outside aid. I begin, however, with Al-Qaeda, the original Al-Qaeda, because Bill and his colleagues have provided a graphic, a map of Afghanistan, and in that map are bullet points of the Al-Qaeda leaders who are confirmed KIA in these provinces. It adds up to a vast canvas of Al-Qaeda operating almost indifferently towards the U.S. and NATO throughout Afghanistan, but particularly in Kunar, Helmand, Paktika, and Ghazni provinces. Bill, a very good day to you. Thank you. Your map of Afghanistan as the Taliban closed in on Kabul in 2021 was extremely helpful to visualize what was happening. Now, this map also. So I go immediately to the puzzle about Kunar province. More Al-Qaeda leaders have been targeted and KIA in Kunar than any other province, probably all the rest together. Why Kunar, Bill? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yes, this map goes from 2010 onward up till today. We killed Ayman al-Zawahiri in Kabul last summer or this past summer. But at the time when the data from this map was gathered, right, Kunar was one of the strongholds for Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. It wasn't the only one, but it was one of the places where Osama bin Laden, if you recall, in 2007, 8, 9, the U.S. ramped up drone strikes against the Al-Qaeda and allied groups inside of Pakistan and the tribal areas of North and South Waziristan specifically. So what Osama bin Laden did was he said, hey, we need to spread out our leadership. There's four provinces in Afghanistan that are really fertile for us. Kunar, Nuristan, Zabul, and I believe it was Kunar, Nuristan, Zabul, and Ghazni were the four provinces that they identified. In this data, actually, you could see that they did pick some of the provinces. But Kunar it's a remote mountainous province in the northeast. It borders Pakistan. It borders an area in Pakistan where the Taliban at the time operated freely. So this is a big reason why Kunar sticks out so prominently on this map. But no, I'm going to be very clear with this map too, John. This really, what we're documenting here is just the senior leaders of Al-Qaeda that were killed. There is probably more than 1,000 lower level Al-Qaeda operatives or what the U.S. military used to call, some of them what the U.S. military would call dual hatted Taliban and Al-Qaeda leaders that were killed throughout all of Afghanistan. And we've documented that in the past as well. We have even mapped that. What we selected here were top level and senior mid level leaders of the group, just so we can put something out here to show that not only has Al-Qaeda been operating in Afghanistan all these years, but the Taliban has lied about this. They told us that Al-Qaeda wasn't there when they fled the country after 9/11, and the Taliban claims that Al-Qaeda and other foreign terror groups aren't operating there. Well, one of the reasons they're in Kunar, Helmand, Paktia, Ghazni, and other provinces, because these were areas that the Taliban controlled and the Taliban were giving them safe haven.
I'm particularly interested in Farooq al-Qahtani, a senior al-Qaeda leader who was reported targeted and killed in Kunar province in 2016. His task was to liaise and direct the Taliban, and that was al-Qaeda's assignment. We can presume that chair has been filled today. So the Taliban and Al-Qaeda still have a strong working relationship. Is that correct, Bill?
That is correct, John. Yeah, for you have a good eye. Farooq al-Qahtani was one of the top tier al-Qaeda leaders that the U.S. killed in Afghanistan. He probably was al-Qaeda's commander in Afghanistan at that time. That title is kind of used loosely. He's also been described as al-Qaeda's commander in northern Afghanistan or northeastern Afghanistan. Very important figure. But he's been replaced. Very likely that person is Osama Mahmoud. The U.S. has designated him as listed him as a specially designated global terrorist just 2 weeks ago. He's the head of al-Qaeda in the Indian subcontinent, which is one of al-Qaeda's branches. That isn't just for Afghanistan, but throughout all of Afghanistan, Afghanistan, Pakistan, India, Burma, Myanmar, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Al-Qaeda in the region, but he would be a key player in liaising with both the Taliban and al-Qaeda. AQIS, or al-Qaeda in the Indian subcontinent, is based in Afghanistan. Its fighters fought alongside the Taliban as the Taliban took over the country. So they played a key role in the Taliban takeover. And some of their fighters have integrated with the Taliban's forces. Today, they've been spotted fighting in Panjshir province against the National Resistance Front and other resistance groups that are in the north. So, you know, Osama Mahmoud would be a key figure. There are others, but he probably is the top figure. When his predecessor was killed, John, his predecessor was also identified as al-Qaeda's liaison directly to Ayman al-Zawahiri, who was al-Qaeda's emir.
And these were the leaders who were identified, KIA, in these provinces while the U.S. and NATO had an active role in security for Afghanistan. So the logic, Bill, of this is that now that NATO and the U.S. have left, al-Qaeda is even thicker in leadership and training throughout Afghanistan. Is that a fair conclusion?
That is the absolute correct conclusion to make here. We have zero reason to believe that al-Qaeda would throttle down its operations in Afghanistan. If anything, they helped the Taliban win. The Taliban are going to be rewarding them. This is what I'm showing here. These are the leaders that we knew were in Afghanistan that we were able to reach out and touch. How many of them were there? And we know they were there because there's individuals that we did target and never killed, and individuals we knew that were moving in and out of Afghanistan. Yeah, it isn't logical to believe that al-Qaeda has left Afghanistan because of Taliban.
Bill, the amateur in me says this is not Afghanistan. This is al-Qaeda-stan. This is their home base. Is that too much, Bill? Is there any other state that represents this scale and this depth and this breadth of al-Qaeda's leadership?
The closest thing would be Somalia, but that is more regionally focused. I mean, it's where Shabab is al-Qaeda's branch in East Africa. They have a significant presence. But you have top-tier al-Qaeda's leaders that are operating from Afghanistan that have been. Again, Zawahiri was killed there. We believe his successor, Saif al-Adel, is very inside of Afghanistan today. Individuals like Serjun Haqqani are essentially dual al-Qaeda Taliban leaders. Serjun Haqqani, of course, is the deputy emir of the Taliban, one of the two, as well as their interior minister, head of the Haqqani network. So, yeah, without a doubt, Afghanistan is al-Qaeda-stan, is Taliban-stan. They're indistinguishable.
We welcome the ambassador to comment on conflict between Pakistan and Afghanistan, because this is a puzzle, ongoing puzzle for years. Mr. Ambassador Hussein, a very good day to you. I read from the Reuters report from Quetta within these last hours. Cross-border shelling and gunfire between Afghanistan and Pakistan killed 6 Pakistani civilians and 1 Afghan soldier on Sunday, officials on both sides of the frontier said. The Pakistan Army said Afghan border forces had opened, quote, unprovoked and indiscriminate fire of heavy weapons, including artillery, mortar, onto the civilian population at the Chaman border crossing. Please help me understand why this is happening, Mr. Ambassador, and what this means about the relationship between, if there is one, between Kabul and Islamabad. Good evening to you.
Good evening. There is a close relationship between Kabul and Islamabad. It is Pakistan is the country that has supported the Taliban all these years. Pakistan expected the Taliban to be close to Pakistan for the simple reason that no one else in the world has the kind of relationship Pakistan has with them. That said, the Taliban are an ideological group. Now, Bill Rojo and I are among the very few people in Washington, D.C. who have been reminding everybody that not everybody saves the same way as somebody in Kansas does. And this was a big mistake while negotiating with the Taliban that the Americans made, that, oh, they are only looking for some material gains and what can we give to get something in return, just like you do with somebody else who is materialistic like you. These are ideologues. These are people who have lived a very difficult life for many years because of what they believe. And their belief system includes wanting the supremacy of their version of their faith. Not only in Afghanistan, but all over the region. So that's the ideological dimension. Then there is the practical dimension. When somebody uses somebody as a proxy, the proxy goes along with the mentor for a long time, but there are always resentments that build up. And so there are a lot of resentments among various Taliban factions towards Pakistani intelligence officers who manipulated them, controlled them, and in some cases gave some of their comrades up to the Americans for state benefits for Pakistan, especially under the rule of former military dictator General Pervez Musharraf. So there's that factor. And lastly, there is the ethnic factor. Both sides of the Pakistan-Afghanistan border, which is known as the Durand Line, which was drawn by a British officer called Sir Mortimer Durand in 1893, and did not exist as a separate border before that. On both sides, the people who live there are Pashtuns. The tribes overlap. They have continued to intermarry even after the border was created. They move back and forth. Now, when you have a fluid border like that, then trying to make it into a hard border will always meet with resentment and resistance. And so all those factors are at play right now. And most importantly, the Afghan Taliban are supporting Pakistani Taliban, whom Pakistan does not like because they attack inside Pakistan. So the relationship is fraught. It is difficult. Pakistan has no choice but to support the Taliban in Afghanistan. At least that's what the leaders there think. And the Taliban have no choice but to work with Pakistan. But this will be like porcupines making love.
Ambassador Hossein Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States and now at the Hudson Institute, and Bill Rojo, who keeps the Long War Journal, highly recommended, especially now because there is a map of Afghanistan, province by province, with identification and explication of the known al-Qaeda leadership that have been targeted and killed over more than a dozen years. And the presumption is that these same provinces are the source of al-Qaeda's refuge. We're going to turn now to the politics of Pakistan, and we'll go to Syria, where the U.S. has run an operation against ISIS. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.